You ready?
This is the Mike Salk Show, serviced by Jaffco Plumbing and Sewer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Are you ready?
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Are you ready for a good day?
We're rolling along here on the Mike Salk Show. Michael Bumpus, Mike Lefko with you. I've been told it's not Thanksgiving Eve. You can't say that. That's not really a thing. But yeah, it's a day before Thanksgiving. So we're having some Thanksgiving-related fun, talking food, football. Bump, did I ask you what's your favorite Thanksgiving dish? You got a go-to?
Favorite. My go-to. It's a tie, man. It's the mac and cheese and the stuffing.
Oh, Matthew Judon would not be a fan of you then.
I know. He's crazy. Oh, it's noodles with cheese. Well, you need to stop eating macaroni out the box. You need
that
to get
that. That was a trash take.
That was a terrible take. What's the Patriots and their food takes, man? The Mac Jones is like, I don't like pie. I don't like any pie.
Yeah, but Belichick saved it because he said that he's fine with, like, any potato. He's like, give me scalloped, give me mashed, give me, like, all the potatoes.
Yeah. Okay, so mac and cheese, Bump, that's your go-to?
Yeah, mac and cheese all day.
I love a good mac and cheese. You can do a lot with it, too. You know, you can throw some little bacon bits in there. You could throw lobster mac and cheese. I mean, it's a very versatile dish. So I'm a fan. I agree with you on that one. I'm also in favor of a good pie. But I'm a guy who also has just eaten a handful of jelly beans at 8 a.m. So
yes, he did.
You don't know what's really going to happen. I'll eat anything at any time of the day.
Lefko's a guy that just eats the Baby Bell cheese with the wax and everything.
We're not going to share that story.
Did you do that
in the morning? That's an afternoon only story.
Wait, did you eat a Baby Bell cheese with the wax on it?
Yeah,
debatable. What?
It was in that Mariners press box.
What?
Bump, do you know this story?
Nah, not like that. I heard about that story, though.
Yeah, so we were in there hosting, getting ready for the Mariners game, and Dave Wyman throws me a little Baby Bell cheese, and I love cheese, but I like it in string cheese form. I like it in, like, cubed or sliced or shredded. I never had those Baby Bell things. My thought is, why take all the work to peel something off and have to eat it? So I'm peeling the exterior wrapper, and I just kind of, like, we're working and we're doing the show, and I just kind of, like, bite into it. Yeah, it tastes a little funny. Okay. And then I take another bite, and it's fine. The wax is actually very thin. And then Wyman happens to look up, and in the middle of talking, he just goes, are you eating the wax? And I did realize it at that time because I got to the center where the wax engulfs the cheese. So I haven't lived that down, obviously, because this happened in June, and it's still being brought up. So that will forever define my legacy.
So wait a minute. Did you expect Wyman to just throw you a piece of regular cheese hands?
No, he threw me a Baby Bell. It's wrapped.
Because there's a plastic wrapper, too.
Oh, there's a plastic outside. I just assumed
Mr. Fancy with your cheese. You don't know there's two wrappers there. You know? There's a big Baby Bell wrapper. I undid that, and I bit into it. Who double wraps an individually wrapped thing? It's just chaos. Unnecessary wrapper. We're trying to save the planet here.
Oh,
why would you wrap two layers
that
of cheese?
You ate wax. I love that story. Okay.
Well,
sorry.
You've had the wax candy stuff too, right?
Like the wax bottles?
Yeah.
Little bottle guys?
So it's like that.
I didn't eat the whole thing.
Yeah, I know. I didn't either. I ate like three bites of it, and then I got called out, and I've been shamed for good. So, all right. You guys can bring shame to the Mac and Jack's text line, 206-421-3776. What's your favorite Thanksgiving food, or do you hate mac and cheese like Matthew Judon of the Patriots? Because it's a good one. It's a good meal here. So we got Thanksgiving stuff. I mean, this is going to be a good couple of 2 hours. We have Jerome Harrison at 8:30. So if you have Apple Cup questions, I'm sure some people do, Bump, right? They probably have some questions for you guys, the Cougar fans out there.
They should.
Yeah, they should. So if you have any questions for Bump or for Jerome Harrison, get those in, 206-421-3776. I know you'll have questions for John Clayton. He's coming up at 8:45, and Matt Hasselbeck from 9 to 10. That'll be a really fun hour. Hasselbeck, Bumpus, those two combined for a pretty fun touchdown pass. That's how I know that I do not belong in this conversation. We're both mics, but I did not catch a touchdown pass in the NFL. So I'll have to bring that up. I know.
It's all right. I
know.
Only caught one, so it's all good.
That's what makes it more impressive. They, like, this guy, Matt Hasselbeck, threw you the touchdown pass, and now you guys are on the radio together. It's fun. It's a cool story. But we're going to talk some Washington football team and the Seahawks. And at first, well, at this point, you know, Bump, you can't take any win for granted. I mean, the Seahawks are 3-7. They just lost to a backup quarterback in Colt McCoy. And not only that, I was a little discouraged Were you upset to see, or just kind of disappointed to see how easy he made it look? He sliced through them. He sliced through them like wax on cheese. 35 for 44, 328, nice. And two touchdowns. I mean, Colt McCoy was just carving him up out there, and he looked really comfortable the entire game.
He, for the second year, he's come to Lumen Field and done his thing in two different jerseys. Last year was the Giants. I blame the Giants for the mid-season just debacle this offense had, because they're the first ones to show that too high and show the league, look, you want to stop this high-powered offense, this is what you do. You put two safeties out there. Colt McCoy did his thing, man. Was it frustrating? Yes, because when you get the inactive reports before the game, we do the pregame show with the guys, and we're like, cool, Kyler Murray's not in there. Awesome. DeAndre Hopkins isn't in there. Boom. Chase Edmonds is not going to be there. Bam. And then what happens? Colt McCoy does his thing, 35 of 44, 328, two touchdowns. And, yeah, it is frustrating because that's a game that you expected to win. Going after the bye week, I think the mentality of this team was, all right, let's just win one out of these next two games, Green Bay and the Cardinals. You hold Green Bay to 17 points, but then you don't put up a touchdown for the first time since 2011. And then you go up against an Arizona Cardinals team that is wounded, and you're not able to get it done. And Colt McCoy, this dude has been playing, feels like, since 2005. This guy's been in the league forever. It's not 05. He's probably like 10, 12 years in the game. But you don't expect a guy like Colt McCoy for the second year in a row to show up to your house and eat all your mac and cheese and not share nothing with you. It was frustrating to watch.
Yeah, there you go. There's your good analogy. I understood that because I know how much you like mac and cheese. So
there
the
you
fact
go.
That Colt McCoy just came into your house and took your mac and cheese.
Or all your wax and cheese, one or the other.
Yeah, he took the wax and cheese. He took all the cheese, and we're big cheese fans here. But now you look at the Washington football team, who needs a nickname in the worst way, because I hate referring to them continually as the Washington football team, especially in this state. I mean, we are Washington. We are in the state of Washington, and they're supposed to be the Washington football team. But, all right, that team over there, they've won two straight games. I mean, they've beaten the Bucs. They've beaten the Panthers, and Taylor Heinicke looks like a giant slayer, going toe-to-toe with Tom Brady. The Washington team played better than them. I know they're missing some key defensive pieces, but you are pretty high on Taylor Heinicke right now, Bump, and what has he done that has impressed you?
Taylor Heinicke in two games, right, against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They beat those guys 29-19. He completes 81% of his passes. Then Carolina, he backs it up. They win 27-21. He completes 72% of his passes with three touchdowns. This dude has some moxie. I just did a film session breakdown for the Seahawks. Should be out in a couple of days. He's more athletic than what people think, and he stands in the pocket and takes the big hits. He's playing like he has nothing to lose, and he really has nothing to lose at this point. He had a QB rating of 141.3. Ooh. I don't think Russ has touched that this year. I mean, now he's a backup, and he doesn't have much to lose. You got to keep that in play because it changes the way that you handle situations. But he's letting it loose, man. Last two games, he's been on a run, four touchdowns, no interceptions. Heinicke is playing like a baller right now.
Yeah. Okay. So here, a texter 509 recommended we call them DC, but then I just think of that as the XFL team. Mora would know this. Mora, yeah. The XFL team, right? Didn't Washington have an XFL team like the DC Sentinels?
The DC Defenders.
DC Defenders.
That was actually our first game, the Dragons' first game. They traveled to DC.
Yeah. So I don't want to refer
Cardale
to them
Jones.
As an Oh, really? He was the quarterback then?
Yeah.
Wow. All yeah. right. So I don't want to refer to them as DC because I think XFL. But yeah, that team, that DC team, I mean, they look good. And what they did well, Bump, Antonio Gibson ran for a season-high 95 yards. They rushed for 190 against the Panthers, and everyone's talking about they're finding their identity. This is the Washington team's identity. They want to run the ball, be physical, have a quarterback that makes plays and does enough to get you the win. That kind of sounds like the Seahawks, right? Isn't that what the Seahawks are supposed to be about?
That's what they want it to be about, but you're just not really healthy in the backfield. You know, Chris Carson is the would be the reason why the Hawks are about that life, but they can't be about that life without 32. You got Alex Collins in there as well. He can get it done, right? Against the Steelers, 20 carries, 100 yards. But can he do it consistently? I just don't know. You look at Gibson, and he hasn't really had a huge game yet. I mean, his longest run this year, I believe, is 15 yards. But they're consistent. They keep giving him the rock. He keeps falling forward. I think that's what it comes down to. If you look at the Hawks last week, there was a series or two where Alex Collins touched the ball three or four consecutive times. They pick up a couple first downs. But for some reason, you get away from that. You got to be balanced. You got to throw the football. But it's about – and balance doesn't mean it's 50-50. Balance just means that – There's a flow to it. And I think Washington football team has more of a flow to their offense and run game than the Hawks do right now.
Yeah, is it really just Chris Carson gets hurt and all of a sudden you can't go to the run? Do they not have enough confidence in that, you know, Alex Collins, DJ Dallas, maybe a little bit of Travis Homer trio, and I guess Rashad Penny? You know, he's in there, then he gets hurt. And with all those running backs, it seems like that is enough to try to get something going. And like you were saying, you don't need to overwhelmingly establish the run in favor of or to the detriment of the passing game. But with the Seahawks' issues in time of possession and the fact that it's just getting worse each week, I mean, they did not have the ball for half of the game against the Cardinals. Yeah. They had the ball for less than 20 minutes. Don't you think just a commitment to getting running backs going would help that out?
It would. It should. But you also have to look at that defense. Defense has been playing well, but they also allowed a 16-play drive, a 15-play drive, 17. I mean, some of that is on them as well. It does compound the situation when you're not able to pick up first downs. I believe the Hawks had the ball 19 minutes. The Cardinals had the ball 40 minutes. So you're looking at 19-minute in possession. That means you're not good on first, second, or third down. People focus on third down, but first and second really set it up. And the interesting part is that these running backs all had their moments. Rashad Penny first played the game, 18-yard game. DJ Dallas has a long of 15. He scores a touchdown. Alex Collins has a long of 11. He has a couple plays where he looks decent. I think they're trying to figure out exactly who they want to use and where they want to use him. I'd like to see DJ Dallas implemented more into the run game. He scored the only touchdown last week. That was the first touchdown in seven quarters for the Seattle Seahawks. He had a play, another big play during that drive. Give this guy some love and see, you have nothing to lose right now. I know Alex Collins will be your number one, but you got to sprinkle in a little bit more DJ.
What do you think quickly here on Rashad Penny? Is it a lost cause at this point? I mean, he looked really good on that one run, and then all of a sudden he's hurt again.
It might be. It might just be time to move on. I feel sorry for the young man. I wish him the best. But at some point, you got to let other guys run the rock.
All right, so I'm being told that I need to read this text. So I want to get to it before need to know. And it's good. It'll make me feel better. It's a long text, but in the spirit of Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving food. So, Bump, we got a text from Casey in Pasco. I'll read the entirety of it. Okay. It's okay, man. I've lived the last 25 years being ridiculed by my family for an eating mistake. At Old Country Buffet, Dad says I can get whatever I want as long as I eat it all. Made the world's biggest ice cream sundae. Didn't realize I had scooped whipped butter. Scooped whipped butter instead of ice cream. Dad and Mom crying laughing as I'm trying to eat it. Had to tough it out. Finally, my dad tells me I don't have to eat it all because he felt bad, but I was stubborn and wanted to prove a point. So I ate the whole butter sundae and flexed on them like a 7-year-old can, but they've ridiculed me for the last 28 years since.
That is awesome.
Thank you, Casey and Pasco. All right, I don't feel too bad anymore. We all make eating mistakes, right?
I'm gonna have to level with you too here, Lefko. I went to an OCB as a kid in Spokane, of all places. And grabbed what I thought was the giant's broccoli. It was like the display one, and it was waxy. And I took one small bite out of that before realizing that it wasn't real broccoli. My parents let me do the same thing. They were like, no, we're going to watch him make his own mistake. I was like, look at this big broccoli I found.
We're all sharing here. Any eating mistakes, Maura or Bumpy, you got to get to? You guys have never made
when I was bartending,
a big fallacy like
I
that.
Once strained a martini. It was a 007, so like gin, vodka, a little splash of white Lillet. I strained it because I had a regular that usually ordered that every time they came in and didn't want it that day. So I had already poured it over ice. I strained it out in case someone ordered one within the next, you know, it was happy hour within the next 5 minutes or so. And I set it aside and somehow got talking to someone, came back, thought I was taking a chug of my water, and I just chugged gin and vodka. when it's not what you're expecting, it's just such a shock that I was talking to someone and I took a big swig of what I thought was water and just immediately let it all spill out of my mouth. They thought I was like having a stroke or something.
Well, I know the listeners didn't think they needed to know that, but that was important to know. But right now, let's get to what they need to know.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Mike Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first,
So Pro Bowl fan voting runs until December 16th, and they just released the initial tally here. Quandre Diggs, Nick Ballor, and Michael Dixon are the leading NFC vote-getters at their position. So even in the midst of a tough season, the Seahawks, they still got some guys, and coaches and players will vote on the 17th. That's the fan voting that ends on the 16th, and the rosters are unveiled on Monday, December 20th. What do you think about those guys, Bump, that they are still having terrific seasons?
Sounds about right, man. Quandre Diggs, 3 interceptions, leads the team, hardly makes a mistake, good on the back end. Nick Ballor leading the NFL when it comes to special teams tackles. Michael Dickinson, nice when it comes to dropping the ball inside the 10. I think they are doing what they got to do.
Should Michael Dickson just have a permanent spot there? Like, it's an honorary naming. Like, this is the Michael Dickson punter Pro Bowl spot.
He's got a reserve space in the Pro Bowl. I'm with that.
Yeah. I if they still did it in Hawaii every year, that could be something where he'd get like his own little luau or his own special event there. But they move it around now. The Pro Bowl has some issues, but it's still a really cool honor that the Seahawks have these guys as the leading vote getters. And you actually can vote. Fan voting runs until December 16th. So look that up. I don't have all the specifics right now, but there are plenty of ways to vote on these Seahawks and help Quandre Diggs, Nick Ballor, and Michael Dickson get to the Pro Bowl.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Unfortunately, though, a terrific rookie season comes to an end. Trey Brown underwent surgery yesterday to repair his patellar tendon and his medial and lateral retinal tears. I might have said that word wrong, but, you know, it's complicated when it's a procedure like that. And it's a 6 to 7 month rehab process. Tough break for a guy who really had been playing well this year.
Tough break for this draft class, man. Trey Brown's been banged up. D. Eskridge has been banged up. You didn't have that many picks this year. You have Forsyth, who's struggling to see the field. Just a tough year when it comes to draft picks this year, especially Trey Brown. I felt like he was on the verge of being able to hold down one side of the field and be that next best Seahawk quarterback.
Yeah, really, that is interesting. We talked about D. Eskridge a lot and then kind of forgot about him. But here was the thing I was kind of mentioning about Trey Brown, how he has seemed wise beyond his years and knowing how to play out there.
Just when you 100% know, that's when you go, you know, and that also comes with study of the ball. I mean, just ball study. You got to be able to know what's coming, tendencies, down the distance, so you can be able to make those plays and understand what guy's doing what, so you can be able to be in position to make those plays.
That was talking about the fourth down stop and knowing what Aaron Rodgers is going to do. That doesn't seem like a rookie. That seems like a guy that's been in the league for almost a decade.
Yeah, wise beyond his years. The kid has an old soul. I wish him a speedy recovery because he's going to come back here and lock down the side of the field for the Seahawks soon.
It'll be great to see him back. Unfortunately, it won't be until next season.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Well, we have a basketball power emerging in the East. Now, they've been there for a while, but now it seems like top-ranked Gonzaga, it's undefeated season or bust after storming past second-ranked UCLA 83-63. And our guy, 7-foot freshman, Chet Holmgren, all 190 pounds of him, 15 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 blocks in the win over UCLA.
Dominated that when it was only close for the first 3 or 4 minutes. They were up 24 at one point. UCLA just couldn't climb their way out of it. The Zags are setting the bar high. Time for a natty. Come on, Spokane.
Did you see that play? The block on one end, and then he runs all the way down the court, dribbles behind his back, and just he dunks it from what looked like the free throw line, but it just seemed like it was 2 steps, and he was almost fully extended dunking the ball. It was wild to see out of a 7-footer.
Yeah, he's long, man. Couple dribbles, and he's down the court. You get him up. You know, he don't even jump high. I mean, with his arms straight up, he probably reaches like 25 feet or something crazy like that. It's fun to see a young player get down like that, man.
It was interesting because, I mean, I know you're a big basketball guy, and it's almost not as fun when a big man dunks because of that, because they don't jump high. You don't see the elevation. You don't see that vertical. It's just like gangly, kind of reaching toward the rim. It's impressive that a 7-footer can dunk, but give me like a Spud Webb, right? Getting like 60 inches up in the air and hammering it home. No offense to the tall people out there, but I don't know. I kind of like a shorter guy dunking more.
You want to see the explosiveness and the violence of a dunk. I can respect that. You want to see the athleticism in a dunk. But if I was 7 foot, goodness gracious, I wouldn't be on the radio with you right now, Mike.
But if you were 7'1", 190, could you deal with that?
I'd have to.
Yeah.
If you're going to pay me millions to be 7'1", 190, yes, I can deal with it.
We were trying to figure out the shoe size in the break, because that's not something they just really list with height or weight. And we were like, all right, well, Chet Holmgren is not the most built out guy, but I'm sure he's got big feet. And then who did you find more that has like the size?
Oh, DJ I remembered Fluker? It from a past interview. Yeah, DJ Fluker, 22s.
Size 22s.
22.
How do you, you have to like staple together two shoes or something. I don't know how you make those.
That's Shaq. That's Shaq size 22.
Yeah, that's wild. Are you a big shoe guy, Bump?
Not really. I mean, I have a bunch of shoes, but I'm not like a collector. You know, I just, hey, I need blue shoes. Let's go find some blue Nikes that
are comfortable. Do you have any Concords?
I do not have any Concords, no.
Do you have any Griffies?
I have a pair of Griffies.
There we go.
Yeah.
I'm not really a shoe guy. I just like, those are the two, right? I mean, those are the ones that everybody knew growing up. I wanted the Concords. Yep. I wanted the Griffies. I have the Griffies. Those are my Sunday drivers. I only bring them out for real special occasions.
There you go.
Have you talked with Taylor Jacobs about this?
No, I know. Like,
the
like
shoe
I said,
dynamic here. I mean, yeah, this is beyond our expertise, obviously, but you two could really go on, it seems.
Maybe.
Like.
I like Allen Iverson shoes, too. Oh, Sean Kemp shoes.
What were those? I liked, so
Kemp's.
The questions.
Just kind of as an interesting little, like, oh, these are cool. The Starberries. It was just so random that Stephon Marbury just came out with this brand of shoe.
And remember that too, yeah?
Yeah, they were
a little
just
bit cheaper.
Crazy big sellers. Yeah.
The pennies. The pennies are my favorite.
Penny Hardaway?
Yes. My goodness.
You know what? I played, when I was in high school, I played in a pair of basketball shoes. I got them because I liked the color. They were like blue and black. They were Derrick Rose. But then I started thinking, yeah, this is probably a bad omen because this guy has all these knee injuries and he's not that good anymore. And I love Derrick Rose, love watching him play. But I was like, yeah, should I really be playing in these shoes?
So he should release a line of knee braces. I think that'd be better than shoes.
Oh, come on, man.
Sorry.
That guy can still ball, right?
I know,
he dropped like,
you know,
50
what? It's
a couple years ago.
Thanksgiving Eve. I need to be better about
Thanksgiving
this.
Thanksgiving Eve. Get your mac and cheese and get ready. This is the Mike Salk Show, serviced by Jafco Plumbing and Sewer. We have still a couple of good guests on the horizon. John Clayton at 8:45 and Matt Hasselbeck from 9 to 10. But coming up next, Bump, this is your time to shine. Two
Let's
football
go.
Greats going at it. We're going to talk with Jerome Harrison. Some Apple Cup preview. It's the Mike Salk Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Washington Wednesdays. Brought to you by Star Rentals. Preferred supplier to the West's best contractors.
Well, we've been talking about all the good parts around Thanksgiving, and certainly one of the best, the Apple Cup. Apple Cup week, it's coming up on Friday, and we have two guys here who have been a part of it. I think I should just let you guys talk. Michael Bumpus, Mike Lefko here with you, but joining us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline, Jerome Harrison, former Cougars running back. Jerome, how are you this morning?
I'm doing wonderful, man. How y'all doing over there?
We're doing well. I think I should just let you and Bump talk. But yeah, we are interested in hearing your Apple Cup memories. I know you guys have some good ones. You got a couple of wins when you were part of it. What was the experience like for you? I mean, when you first got to Washington State, were you aware of the dynamic of this rivalry, or how did you really get immersed into it?
I mean, day one, the guys told me, you don't understand how serious it is, man. Coming from Michigan, I thought I did. Like, I understood that. University of Michigan and Michigan State, University of Michigan, Ohio State. I thought I understood the rival, but the guys here let me know right away that it doesn't have anything to do with the Apple Cup, and they were right.
Hey, JC, what's up, man?
Well, the man
himself. Was good. The ghost. We called him the ghost, man. This dude would have 100 yards before the half. He would tell us he's going to score 80-yard touchdowns. He would do that. Probably the best football player I ever played with, 1,900 yards his senior year. Now, you're back in Washington right now. You're getting ready to go to the Apple Cup this week. Do you talk to your kids? You got three kids. Do you tell them, like, look, daddy's the man. Daddy used to run this. You know, I'm the Apple Cup. I'm the dude. You let them know who you are and what you do?
Man, you know, I was letting my kids know, and they look at me like, yeah, whatever. Your dad. So they don't know any better yet.
How was that 2005 game, just to cap off what was a really special season for you? I mean, was that one where you knew, like, hey, this rivalry has gone back and forth, and sometimes a bad Washington State team has beaten a good Washington team, and sometimes a bad Huskies team has beaten a good Cougs team. But in that season that you had, was it just, you know, we got to get a win in this one?
No, I knew I would never lose the Apple Cup while I was there. And also, I knew this guy that was number five, so I knew I wasn't going to lose.
Appreciate that love there, Jerome. Hey, man, you know, as the Cougs get ready for this, man, if you could talk to some of these young cats, you know, guys who are like you and I. I'm from Cali, you from Michigan. We didn't really understand what the Apple Cup meant until we got into it. If you could like bless some of these freshmen with some advice and knowledge of the cup, what would you say?
You win this game, you have a winning season, regardless of your record. You know, to own the state, to walk around with that Washington State logo on and just know that I don't lose to Washington, you know. Like, this is my state. They come second. So it's really big, man, and the fans are going to let you know at the time you come out that tunnel.
We're talking to Jerome Harrison here on the Mike Salk Show, serviced by Jafco Plumbing and Sewer. All right, Jerome, you know, Bump sometimes like to downplay his accomplishments right now, but we all saw him. We watched the tape. We know how good he was. What were your favorite Michael Bumpus memories while at Washington State?
Oh, man, it's so many. But I'll tell you the one thing that I don't think people understand is every time Michael Bumpus scored a touchdown or Michael Bumpus broke a big run, like the radio, the system would play Bump, Bump, Bump by Marlon. And I didn't like it because I think it's his reason why I didn't go for 2,000 yards my senior year. So
I'm taking.
He would be back there returning punch. Oh, my goodness. And I'll never forget the Oregon. He returned a touchdown to Oregon. And they swore he was out of bounds, and he kept running. And I wanted him to go out of bounds so I could break the record, but they caught it and touched it out, man. He was just so fun. He was so fun to watch. As long as you had number five, I knew we had a chance.
Hey, you know what's crazy about that, Jerome? If they had a replay when we played that game, they would have called me out because I showed it a step out of bounds, but they didn't call that. They let me live. But my memory, one of my best memories of Jerome Harrison, I want to say it was your second year at Wazoo. You already know where I'm going with this. We're playing Idaho, and in the meetings, we're watching film, we're breaking stuff down, and, you know, you stand up and say, hey, first play of the game, I'm going to the house, fellas, so y'all better meet me there. We're like, all right, man. Then you say it again. We're like, all right, man, first play of the game. So now they kick it off as a touchback. We get the ball on the 20, and we hear the play. I'm like, all right, Jerome's going to get the ball. Let me block. I'm blocking in the slot, and I just see number one just fly by me, and this dude is breaking for a touchdown. He called his shot. I'm cursing him out, running down the field. Like, I can't believe this dude just called his shot in front of all these people. Man, that was amazing to see, man. It was, and I'm not kidding, the best football player I've ever played with, man. They call him the Ghost because now you see him, now you don't. You know, he break in between the line, get it to the sidelines, make a couple dudes miss. Man, it's a honor to play with my boy JC.
But you said it though, you were blocking. I'm not anything without that. So you guys, you, Chris Jordan, Jay Hill, y'all stayed blocking for me downfield, man. Made my job quite easy, man. So well, I appreciate you more than you know, man.
Jerome, we know how special this Washington State fan base is. I mean, we see it every college game day, the flags flying every single place they've been at. After the career you had there, and after you, like you said, you weren't going to lose an Apple Cup. After the career you had there, and after those Apple Cup wins, do you run into Washington State alums all over the place? Do they bring that up to you, or what's the interaction when you run into a fellow alum?
It's love, man. I mean, the Cougs are everywhere. I mean, it's where I live. Like, I want to say sadly, it's a group of guys that get together and we just watch Washington State football. And some of my older gentlemen, they feel like we're up to 1 o'clock in the morning. But it's love. The Cougs are love, man. And they always will be, man. And they would do anything to help another Coug out, man. So the fan base here is pure amazing.
Hey, Jerome, I know you out here in Washington for the week. Any other Cougs you linking up with? I know we had we have dinner on Sunday. Who else you linking up with?
Yeah. Of course, my fullback, Jared Collins, Alex Brink, Hanja Dula, probably catch up with Marcus Trufant, and Chris Jordan, my man.
There we go. There we go. The squad. Get the boys back together, man. I love it.
That's a good squad there. That's an impressive list.
I mean, I can't complain. You know, they all of them help make me who I am. So, I can't complain at all. And you're with one of the best Cougs ever played the game, man. So you where you need to be.
Always deflecting. I appreciate you.
Well, we have an issue here, though, with the Cougs. And I know, Bump, you brought this up, that glaring thing that, you know, it's been seven straight.
Yeah,
It's been a little bit since Washington State has won, 2012, the last win. Jerome, what do they have to do to get it done this week?
You know, I'm a running back, so I'm going to say run. I would run. If it was up to me, I would run the ball 75. It'll be 80-20 if it was up to me. Because they got a pretty solid running back that can take it, man. So I would just – and he made it clear he wasn't coming back. So when I tell you, I will feed the workhorse. I will feed him.
Yeah, especially against this UW defense, man. They're great against the pass. I think if you have success, it's going to be in the run, man. When you watch Max Borgi, the 2-1 out there, do his thing, and you see how many receptions he had, what have you played in today's game, Jerome? We already know you can run that, Rob. What was them hands like?
Oh, I was good, man. I watched Michael Bumpus, man, practice, man. I think I went over there and practiced with y'all. In warm-ups, man, I could do it, man. That's because I wanted to be like Michael Bumpus when I grew up.
Gas me up. Hey, I hope my kids are listening, man. I try to tell them that daddy was nice back in the day. They need to be listening to this.
Man, good luck.
Are they awake? Yeah, wake them up. Make sure they're listening to this.
Oh, my kids are up. As soon as there's a glimmer of light, they are up.
Yeah, so it sounds like all your kids need to realize that their dads are pretty special. So you guys can tell your kids, listen to the other ones and say, you know what, Jerome used to really be special, and then Bump, maybe your kids will realize you used to be pretty special too.
Yeah, we'll see. They're hard headed.
So Jerome,
I assume
it's a win that you're predicting. You think it'll be close? You think it'll be a blowout? What's the prediction for Friday?
I just go off of wins. You know, no one ever talks about how much you won by, so I'm just going with the win. I'll give it 13, though. I'll give it 13 points.
13. Washington I like State. It. Yep. I'm with it. Yeah. Mark it down. 13.
If they run the ball.
80-20 is what he wants. He wants Borgi and McIntosh to touch that rock. I ain't mad. That's a safe bet, man. That's the safe bet. And we haven't won in Seattle since 2007. You were already in the league making a bunch of money by then. It was me, Brink Gibson, and Jed Collins doing our thing. So hopefully we can run that back.
Yeah, y'all should be able to, man. I didn't know it was that long.
Yeah, man. Been a while.
Well, Jerome, we appreciate taking the time, Jerome. And this has been a great, great reunion. Glad you and Bump got to catch up. Have a great Thanksgiving, man.
All right, man. You guys have a great Thanksgiving. And Michael Bump, go coach those boys if you need to, man.
Hey, let's go. I'll talk to you soon, JC.
All right, brother.
All right, peace.
All right, that was Jerome Harrison. Some great memories there. It was just you guys just traded off praising each other. But hey, why not? Two
That's
of the
what we
best.
Do. Yeah. Take care of each other.
That was good. That was very nice. So we got our Cougs talk in on a Washington Wednesday previewing the Apple Cup. We can talk about it a little bit more. We can get into that later. But we have to swing back to the NFL because the professor is up next. John Clayton's Morning Drive coming up next. This is the Mike Salk Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
John Clayton's Morning Drive, every morning at 8:45 on the Mike Salk Show.
I thought you saw a lot of good things out of offense. I think that was a very positive sign.
The first and final word on everything NFL from the professor, John Clayton.
Brought to you by Dubin Law Group.
It just amazes me. I give it credence, but not total credence.
It's John Clayton's Morning Drive with Mike Salk.
Well, you got a couple of mics this morning, John, but it's Michael Bumpus and Mike Lefko. So how are you on this Thanksgiving Eve?
Good, doing better than Everson Griffin, that's for sure.
Yeah, so I heard that just happened, but what's going on in that situation?
Well, the situation is, I guess, that he was on Instagram, and he was in a dark room, and he was waving guns and things of that nature, saying that people were out to get him. And then he said, I got the gun from Dalvin Cook. And then so now they have people over at his house with mental health issue people trying to see if they can help him out. And so then you wonder what's going to happen to him, because obviously he's in a bad mental state. I mean, you wonder if they're going to release him. I just saw the votes for the Pro Bowl. And right now he's 10th at defensive end. But, now you have to kind of wonder, is they're going to release him or what they're going to do? But the big thing is right now they're trying to get his mental health back together.
John, the Titans release Adrian Peterson after 2 weeks. What were your expectations with this situation? Did you think he was going to resurrect his career or just be a Band-Aid for the short time being?
Oh, I thought Band-Aid because, again, you know, he did some good things last year for Washington, some good things, but he wasn't great. And obviously you can see that after a couple of weeks, they just basically gave up on him because he just wasn't there. So I have to think at this stage, his career is done. You know, Frank Gore's career is probably done because nobody's brought him in yet. So there's two Pro Bowl, not a Hall of Fame type backs that you know, pretty well are at the end. But in fact, the fact that here they needed him, they wanted to see if he could help them out, but he didn't help them out, and so they released him. So I think that's probably it for Adrian Peterson. Now what's going to happen, he's going to, you know, be out of football, but his handshake is still going to break people's hands because it's, you know, he gives you the toughest handshake you can ever have.
I have heard that. I know you've mentioned that before.
No, I've got it. Yeah. I mean, I think my hand's still sore from when he shook my hand like about 12 years ago or something like that.
Well, because people ask, they are asking about Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
Is that an option for the Seahawks? Well, okay,
no.
Here's a more realistic one.
Yeah.
What about Philip Lindsay? The Texans cut him. I think
he's a consideration. The only issue right now is he's not real big. He's fast, so he's more of like a DJ Dallas guy. And so, you know, and what they need is more of that bigger guy that, I mean, you know, obviously what they needed was somebody in the Adrian Peterson size group that could come in and help out the running backs. But, you know, I think he could be a consideration.
So wait, like Adrian Peterson?
What's that?
So like Adrian Peterson?
Well, no, don't. I mean, Adrian Peterson's done. But Adrian Peterson's size is, you know, what they probably need more than a Philip Lindsay. But again, I have to think if you're the Seahawks, you got to consider Philip Lindsay because, again, he's fast, he's quick, and he can get yards, even though, again, nobody gets yards with Houston because nobody does anything with Houston.
John, we all know this offense for the Seahawks have been struggling. How do you fix this? Chris Carson is gone. You got to rely on Alex Collins. Is there enough on the roster right now and on this coaching staff to win at least three or four more games and soften the blow of this season?
Well, I think there is, but of course I thought that they were going to have a decent chance against Arizona and they were just absolutely awful. Clearly, you know, they've got to, you know, it's funny because I was talking to somebody just about 10 minutes ago and it's a third down red zone type of league right now. And what's this team not good at right now? Third down conversions in red zone.
Yep.
And so it's like if they can't fix that, and what I look at is that we're seeing the same thing every week. And even though Russell Wilson's back, I mean, this team is only averaging 55 offensive plays a game, 55. And, you know, the defense is on the field 72.8, and you can't win like that. I mean, your defense wears down, as this has. You're not converting third downs. You get to the red zone, and you can't even get a touchdown. You know, they went seven quarters without a touchdown. They went 20 possessions, more than 20 possessions without a touchdown drive. And so it's like they've got to try to fix that because if not, the season's gone.
John, the Seahawks did go up against two pretty good defenses the last couple of weeks, and the Packers and the Cardinals. Do you think it will help that this Washington football team is without Chase Young, without Montez Sweat? I mean, they're missing some guys on this defense.
Yeah, they
Could this be a help for the Seahawks?
It could be, but they're actually starting to play a little bit better. And it was interesting because one of the issues right now with Washington is that, you know, here they had the four first-round picks, but it just seemed that, I don't know, they were more selfish in the first part of the season than they were players. They seem to be, you know, more interested in themselves and not playing as a team. And, you know, now even though they're down Chase Young and Montez Sweat, you know, they're playing a little bit more as a team on the defensive line. Now their linebacking core is not good. Their secondary has been a big disappointment. They're getting a little bit better, but, you know, I think right now, I mean, you know, you can see it now again, like, for example, last week, I kept on saying, you know, during the week, and you heard me, Mike, is that the Cardinals can't stop the run. They're real bad. They're the fifth best defense in football statistically, but they're not a good run-stopping group. And so what happens? I mean, Rashad Penny comes out and he gets 18 yards in his first carry, and they were blasting through that you know, running game and blasting through the middle, you know, getting good yards. But then they stopped and they kept, you know, trying to pass the ball and, you know, getting to third down and long and, you know, not being able to convert.
John, Taylor Heinicke has been on a roll these past couple of games, completing 70% of his passes four touchdowns, no interceptions last two games. Is he the hottest quarterback in the league right now?
No, come on. I mean, is he Tom Brady? Is he Aaron Rodgers? No, I mean, he's done a good job because, I mean, the big thing with Taylor Heineke, because he's done better than most people expected, is that you have to limit the number of passes. You can't have him go to a game and throw more than 32 passes. If you do, then you're in trouble. But, and of course, remember, he doesn't have Curtis Samuel. He may have him this week, and he hasn't had Logan Thomas at tight end, so that's kind of taken some things away. But he's done a better job than I think anybody expected. But is he the hottest quarterback? No, but, you know, he just has to limit what he does as far as, you know, his downfield throws and what he does as far as the number of passes he attempts.
All right, John, our final and most important question.
Yeah.
We heard Matthew Judon is a mac and cheese hater.
Uh-huh.
Michael Bumpus is a mac and cheese lover.
Oh, okay.
Where do you fall on the mac and cheese debate? Is it part of Thanksgiving? Do you like it?
No, it's not part of Thanksgiving because I'd rather have scalloped potatoes or even mashed potatoes. But, you know, I was like, I can go because I know, you know, I'll go to a restaurant or two and occasionally get the mac and cheese. So it's like, you know, I'm kind of with Bumpus on this one. It's not like my first choice or anything else, but I'm in on mac and cheese.
Good to know. All right, perfect. Well, Professor, thank you, and have a happy Thanksgiving.
Great. Have a great Thanksgiving to you guys.
Thank you very much. John Clayton with the important knowledge there on the Seahawks. No Adrian Peterson, it sounds like, and maybe some Philip Lindsay. And then, of course, he's on your side on mac and cheese, so that's good. Yeah, Matthew Judon. It kind of changes my opinion of him. Great talent, bad food guy. So, all right, well, that's enough of the Thanksgiving talk because we have some important football to get to. Matt Hasselbeck joining us next. He'll be here for the full hour. We're going to talk Thanksgiving Day football games, Seahawks season, and a pretty interesting ranked coming up with Matt Hasselbeck. All that straight ahead. It's the Mike Salk Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.